day on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Well, we've got to go back a couple of days to once again virtually celebrating in the announcement made on Monday by the Premier. I'll briefly mention this. Queenslanders will be able to spend Christmas with their loved ones under a long-awaited roadmap that could also allow international travel from early next year. But those who refuse to get vaccinated will face curbs on the freedoms they currently enjoy, as authorities warned it was the last chance for Queenslanders to protect themselves before the Delta wave arrived. Now, it says the domestic border will be thrown open on December 17, regardless of whether 80% of eligible Queenslanders are fully vaccinated, but could open sooner if people get the jab. Now, look, I'm glad we're touching on this, because every time you talk to some of the heavy hitters in tourism, they say, oh, well, it would be possible to open it considerably before the 17th of December. So that's an interesting question. I ran into Mark Olson yesterday. I was hoping to talk to him this morning. I may get him a little bit later on, but he's flat out busy. But when I mentioned the 17 December date, he said, look, there's another date emerging that is equally important. That's the recommencement of international travelling to Queensland. Possibly he pulled the figure out of the air, 17th of January. So we'll see more a little bit later, or hear more a little bit later on that front, but that's certainly encouraging. Now, let's get to another matter, because everyone's saying, oh, we're going to have a tourism industry, 17th of December, isn't that wonderful? And we've got a bit of marketing going on, which is wonderful too, thanks Queensland. Then you pick up the Courier Mail today. It reads here, some of Queensland's biggest events could be under threat as New South Wales unveils a massive war chest. Can you believe this? I can't believe it. A massive war chest to bankroll a tourism revival in that state. While weary operators are thankful a roadmap to a new reality has finally emerged, the greatest threat could be still to come, with Queensland's chief rival and most important interstate market of New South Wales launching a $530 million push to keep tourist dollars south of the border. South of the border. It's like declaration of war, isn't it? Anyway, I've just put a call through to Margie Osmond. She's got a finger on the pulse of all these matters. She would have known this probably 36 hours ago. Chief Executive, Tourism Transport Forum Australia. Margie, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Did you get early mail on this?
Oh, well, look, it'd be fair to say this has been in the works for some time. There's no doubt that when New South Wales comes out with these kinds of announcements, and really if you think about the last few weeks, they come out with these sorts of announcements, and it seems to drive behaviours all around the country. So from our perspective as a national entity, I'm always happy to see this kind of thing, because it, you know, sets the bar that bit higher and everybody reaches for it.
So you're not on our side after all?
Oh, I am absolutely on tourism side, John. I think the other thing to keep in mind is that the part of this big package in New South Wales is an International Aviation Attraction Fund, and you know I've been banging on about that forever. And what's happened in New South Wales is the government's putting $60 million into it, and the airport and some of the aviation players are putting another $60 million. Mm. So New South Wales will have $120 million to attract and subsidise those international routes back into Sydney. Mm. Now, ultimately, that's a good thing for everybody, because 9 times out of 10, Sydney is the gateway into the country. So Queensland does get a benefit from this. You know, the more attractive and the sooner Sydney is open and New South Wales is open, the more people ultimately are going to be coming to Queensland as well.
Now, of course, you're across what they're doing, or Tourism Events Queensland is doing. I went through that with Michael Healy in some detail yesterday. But it does say this, the $530 million package dwarfs the entire operating budget of Tourism Events Queensland, though extra measures of support provided by the state government here in the past 18 months in Queensland have exceeded $1 billion. Look, on that basis, I suppose we've got to be very grateful. Let's turn now, Margie, to the prospects of success. Now, the report's coming through yesterday from travel agents said, we are flat chat. The phones are ringing off the hook. So that's a very encouraging start.
It's a great start. It's an incredibly encouraging start. I think what's interesting, and not that I want to backtrack to the New South Wales package, but just to say to you that a lot of what's being proposed in New South Wales from a subsidy and assistance perspective is geared at March next year. Mm. And that's for a very particular reason, for exactly the reason your travel agents are talking about. Everybody's suddenly gone, oh, wonderful. We can go to Queensland for Christmas. We can see the people we love. We can go to a gorgeous resort or lie on a beach or do whatever. But what happens at the end of the summer holidays? what do we do to stimulate more activity after that? And I'm sure that's what TEQ and the Queensland government will now be focused on.
Yeah.
There's a certain natural momentum around Christmas now, but what happens after that?
Margie, just, I know it's old territory, but I've got to remind people again because there's a lot of depression up here. We could be headed for something that wouldn't even have been conceived a week ago, and that is a bountiful 1st of January through until Easter. Indeed, yesterday the picture was drawn of right through to the middle of the year, which would lead us into the next tourism season. Why? Because normally everyone shoots through at the end of the second week in January. And it's Tumbleweed City, as I said yesterday. Well, talking to operators, for example, in Port Douglas, like Bill at Salsa yesterday, he's now keen on the prospects of going right through till Easter and beyond with a bountiful season because of that pent-up demand.
Well, and that's exactly the kind of thinking that now has to occur. This is the moment, I think, for the tourism industry to really innovate. We've got an opportunity now. And we've gone through the process of COVID, and we've probably got a bit more territory to cover in that space. But nevertheless, this is a moment that says, we've got some light at the end of the tunnel now. Let's have a quick look at our businesses and the way we're operating and the way the industry is operating. And can we learn something and innovate a bit to give ourselves an extra leg up as part of this recovery process? And I think uniformly now, that's what we're seeing around the country. And that's what's driving things like these packages that are now being announced, because it's a moment in time when we can make a difference.
Now, just quickly, this came up yesterday in an off-air discussion with Mark Olson. He was very keen about this 7-8 December figure, might be even earlier, but he did bring up this figure out of the blue, which took us by surprise, 17 January for international arrivals. What are your thoughts?
Oh, look, I say go, Mark. We work very closely with Mark. We think he's pretty terrific. But the issue from our point of view is I do think that you will see international, if not tourists, certainly international students and skilled workers and all sorts of people coming in, I would have thought, beginning of December. Call me a hopeless optimist. And I think if that starts happening in New South Wales and Victoria, Queensland will not be far behind. So Mark may not be too far off with the suggestion of when we might start seeing at least some international visitors of a tourism type.
Very exciting times, Margie. Thank you.
Well, upwards and onwards,
yes.
John, and thank you for all of your support of the sector. You've been just a champion and a warrior for the cause.
Oh,
so
thank you, Margie. Well, this won't be the last time, I can assure you.
Oh, no, of course not. No.
Good on you, Margie.
I just thought you're always so kind to everybody else recognising them. Somebody needs to recognise you back.
Oh, lovely. Thanks, Margie. That's Margie Osmond. She's the CEO of the Tourism Transport Forum of Australia, and the time's on 13 to 10.